welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture that you may be familiar with, Psalm 23. This is where, this is actually the latter part of it, where King David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful passage of Scripture. We looked at that actually even last week when we talked about loneliness. You are not alone. No matter where you are, no matter, like Jody said this morning in worship, no matter how low you may go, He is still there with you. Where can you go from His presence? Nowhere. He is with you and He is for you. The Scripture also told us this, and this is kind of in connection with that too, where Jesus told us through the Gospel of John, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, Jesus referred to Himself as the Good Shepherd. And as Dave was bringing out in worship, how that first phrase of this whole chapter is, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, when you think of shepherd, there's just that, all those connotations of Psalm 23 that just goes along with Him being the shepherd. Of course, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." And one of the things the Good Shepherd said that He would do is He would send that Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He's been with them as they've been dwelling with Jesus. He said, "Who will soon be in you." And that's what we have experienced now as Christians. When we're born again, when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit also. And we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And this is really what we were talking about last week so much, that you're never alone. You know, He'll abide with you forever. And so no matter what, even at the point of death, you don't even leave your body alone. It's you and the Holy Spirit together that are going to go into the presence of the Lord. You're always He's always with you. So there's that truth, that resounding truth that the Lord is with me. And we take these two thoughts that no matter where I go, you know, I don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. And we can see how Jesus said that He would be with us by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we know that, we can see that. And last week we really took some comfort in the fact that He's just there, that we're not alone, no matter where we go. He is with us, on the inside of us. And so I wanted to take that thought this morning, but I kind of want to carry it a little bit further. And I kind of like kind of the flow of the songs this morning, because they kind of flowed from that, the companionship of the Holy Spirit, to something else as you're looking at, you know, bricks of fear falling down. Because as we look at the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, we realize that He's not just there to keep us company during those dark times, but He is there in power on the inside of us. And He gives us power to overcome and to resist those forces of darkness in the dark times. You know, we got to start with knowing He's there, right? You got to start with a companionship. Before you can really tap in and release and resist, you've got to really know and believe that He's there. So that's kind of my heart. You know, if you didn't get last week's message or something, that might be a good kind of additional, more context for what we're talking about today. But He's in us. We're settling that. All right, I thank You, Lord, that You're with me. You're in me. But because You're in me, I don't have to fear any evil. And we're going to look at that this morning in terms of, you know, the title of the message is simply called Resisting Fear, all right? The psalmist said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because You're with me." So there's a companionship of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not alone. Praise God. But as we get into this new covenant with better promises, we find out that in Christ we have an authority. So as we remember that he's with us, that he's there, that there's something that we can do to take authority and to resist. In fact, we're called to resist that spiritual darkness that comes against us. And I know this can be kind of a vague concept and whatnot. And this morning, I'm just, you know, our moniker here at Door of Life is where faith meets real life. So I'm believing this morning that you're gonna see some of these things in a light that I'm believing that you're gonna see it and it's gonna click as it relates to taking authority to resisting fear. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He is a companion, and he's also greater than he that's in this world. So we're going to take a look at that this morning in terms of resisting fear. So as it relates to, you know, resisting fear, there's a few things that we need to do if we're going to resist fear. First of all, we have to see through the fear. We're going to take a look at a couple scriptures kind of back to back here, and I think we're going to see kind of two different sides of this mountain. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So here's a warfare scripture that we see in our New Testament, that we got weapons, all right? We got weapons that are good at dealing with this stuff. Strongholds, arguments, high things, knowledge against God, bringing thoughts into captivity. In other words, you can kind of see as it relates to fear, and we're looking at this in the broader context of resisting fear, but you can see that there is kind of this mental side where you've got thoughts, you've got arguments, you've got rationale, you've got reasoning, you've got history, you've got stuff that you can look at that makes logical sense. A cause to fear. It's an argument, all right? That's kind of the mental side of fear. But we also see, this is kind of another warfare scripture, where the Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesians says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And that's kind of like we've got these weapons of our warfare. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." It's kind of talking about the same battle, but you're seeing it from a different perspective. This isn't mental, this is spiritual. You're seeing spiritual forces, all right? On one hand, you see the mental realm of thoughts and arguments, same battle though. On the other side, you're seeing powers and principalities, all right? If you're going to resist fear, you've got to see through fear. In other words, when I'm looking at fear, when I'm attacked with fear, it registers as a thought in my mind. All right? But what we have to realize is that those thoughts are inspired, okay? There's a spiritual side. There's a spiritual influence behind those thoughts, okay? In other words, there's that mental realm and there's this spiritual realm, but together they're working fear. You know, there's a spirit of fear. We know that. But we realize that it'll attack us through suggestions in the mind. Now, one of the things that can get between that mental realm and that spirit realm we can see is the Word of God. It's alive. This Word is alive. It's powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between spirit and cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. In other words, when you're talking about mental stuff and spiritual stuff, that's kind of murky a little bit, you know? Where does spirit end? Where does mental begin? And kind of all that stuff. It's kind of a blob. Hard to know what's what. The Word of God can get right in there and call soul, soul, and spirit, spirit. It gives you light. It gives you a certain perspective. Now, when we're dealing with fear, and what we're simply talking about, seeing through fear, a lot of times we're over here, we get a suggestion, we get a thought, maybe it's based on something, history or whatever, and it's coming against our mind, you know, we realize that we can't allow that thought to dominate our thinking. We got to take authority over that thought. We got to do something with that thought. And I've done this, you know, sometimes where it's like, okay, that's fear. I can't think that. Nope, that's not right. It's not a right thought. I'm not going to think that thought. Okay, I reject that thought. And sometimes as you're doing that, it can feel like you're doing that 1,000 times in a day. And it's like, why You know, why isn't it going away? You know, I'm choosing. When we were kids growing up on the farm, one of our principal lessons that we had to learn for strawberry farming was weed pulling. I call it weed pulling 101, where my dad would take me and my brother and he would show us, you know, when you pull these weeds, guys, you just can't pick the top off the weed so your row looks clean, because the next morning that thing's going to sprout up. If you're going to pull a weed, you got to take it at the roots and pull it out and then put it out there for the sun to dry it out and destroy that weed. And a lot of times when we're trying to fight or resist fear, that's kind of what we're doing. We're kind of just trying to fight it at that thought level. And it's kind of like picking the weed at the top. But the spiritual source behind that, the spiritual power, principality, the things that are kind of coming against it, we don't really always deal with that root cause. We don't deal with the root thing behind the thought. In other words, the thought is just the outward expression of the spiritual nature and the spiritual force that's working on it. So sometimes I shouldn't be afraid, and I condemn myself and beat myself up because I'm thinking of fearful thoughts, and I know better than to think fearful thoughts. I can't think that. I can't think that. I can't think that. I'm just pulling my weed at the top. And so I'm really not doing anything spiritually productive. I'm just kind of condemning myself because I'm experiencing fear when I should know better, or something like that. Or, you know, so as we're talking about resisting fear, we got to kind of see through fear. We got to see what it is that we're dealing with. We have to kind of see more that big picture of it. Now, the scripture tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove, test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. In other words, as we're experiencing things, as you're experiencing thoughts, you're really experiencing also kind of that spiritual force behind the thought. So as I'm dealing with something again, I got to see through and realize that, hey, there's something bigger than just this thought in my head going on here. You know, a lot of times we've got our history in that thing, but if you could open your eyes and see in the spirit realm the spiritual forces behind it, you'd realize, wow, this really isn't flesh and blood. There really are powers and principalities at work here. And the Bible really is true, and this really does make sense. And I really have to be able to see through what it is that I'm fearing. I got to see through the thought over into the spiritual side of it and realize that, okay, there is some spiritual business that I'm going to do here. But one thing that I know about whatever that spiritual force is right over here, I'm going to test the spirit to see whether they are of God. I don't believe every spirit, but prove whether they proceed from God. So this is kind of what I'm doing on this side of it. I'm testing that spirit. I'm testing to prove that, okay, is this one from God? Is it not from God? There are things that you're going to get in the mental realm that are from the spiritual realm, and it's from God. The Spirit has been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. So that means the Holy Spirit is also going to register thoughts that are going to go, wow, that's it, that's God. So what we're doing is we're testing, ultimately, the spirits. Because what happens is these spiritual influences kind of get into our mind, and if we're listening to them and we're meditating on them, what happens is you believe a spirit. It's not just that, oh, I think that's true and it's bad. You're believing a spirit. And the Bible says, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. Just because something registers doesn't mean you're obligated to believe it. You're testing it. Is this from God? Is this not from God? Jesus came that we might have life more abundantly. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm testing this thought. What's the trajectory of this thought? Is it life or is it death? I'm testing the thought. And if I don't test the thought, I'll wind up believing a spirit. And that's really what a stronghold is. That's why it's hard to not, because you're believing something. A stronghold gets into what you believe about something. And so as we're testing something, we're testing about what we're going to believe and what we're not going to believe. So we're talking about seeing through fear, and as I got thoughts in my head and whatnot, I'm going to be aware that there's more to this fear than just the scenario in my head, but there's a spiritual side to that as well, too. It's not just the arguments and high thoughts and things exalting itself against the Bible, but there's also the spiritual powers and principalities of darkness that we're wrestling against. You know, there's a wrestling that's going on. I wrestled in high school. Wrestling is an arduous task. It takes effort. You're on top, and next thing you know, something happens, and you're on bottom. You know, and then you're trying to get back on top again and get position again. And sometimes that's the way it is when you're wrestling spiritually sometimes too. It's like, yes, praise God, and all of a sudden, a thought will come. I didn't think of that. Oh, now I'm on bottom again. you know? And there's a wrestling that goes on, you know, as we're dealing with these powers and principalities and whatnot. But the important thing as you look to resist fear is you got to see that big picture. Okay, this isn't just history and my little thing. There's stuff going on. There's a spiritual side to that deal. And we have power. We have authority in that spiritual side. But the first thing that, you know, he's saying is don't be gullible. Don't just take everything and swallow it and believe it, but rather test that, test it. Test the spirits, whether they are of God. And so this is where when you do begin to believe something and when you begin to look at those thoughts, in other words, those thoughts are coming at you, and as you believe it, now let's put it on the good side first. When the Word of God thoughts come and you believe it, the Spirit of God will strengthen you. It'll give you light. You'll get revelation, and you'll see things. And it'll strengthen you with might by your spirit in the inner man, right? That's a good spirit when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come through. But when you allow a wrong spirit to come through in the form of thoughts, and I believe it, then I allow the influence of that spirit to have control of my life then too. And it can show me some dark stuff, and I can get some dark revelations, and I can get some dark things, and all of a sudden I'm seeing things darkly. And what I don't realize is not just me thinking, you're literally yielding to a spiritual source. This is important to understand because our authority just isn't at the mental level. In other words, getting victory over fear is not just a cerebral exercise of thinking right. There's more to it than that. And think right message is important. We need to think right. But the reason why thinking is so key for a believer is because you have the Holy Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. So you're not just thinking right, you're going to be believing right. And you're going to be taking the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit ultimately to resist what's going on over here on that spiritual side, that spiritual realm. I love to use a lot of, commonly I use that example of in the Lord of the Rings when Pippin has a little Palantir thing, little crystal ball deal, and it's a bad, wicked, evil thing that the dark Lord Sauron created to kind of tell futures and do things like that, but you know, he was curious, and so little Pippin in his curiosity looks into this ball, and the thing of it was is that when he began to look into that ball, you know, and gaze into it, it was looking back at him and began to read him in fear and things like that. And that's kind of the same effect that when we begin to listen to and not test the spirits but let those things in, it begins to create that gaze. And it's not just that we're looking into it. It's looking into us. It's beginning to read us. And all of a sudden, the hypotheticals, different things like that. What? There's spiritual stuff going on here. This is what I want to get across. It's not just cerebral. There is spiritual side to this whole deal. And so as you're doing that, you have to realize that that's the dynamic that's going on. Now, in the movie, Pippin does get free from this thing. But, you know, it's Gandalf and the king guy, the Lord of the Rings, Aragorn. Yes. They come in and they rescue, they rescue him because what do? They come in and they get that, knock that ball away. They have to break his gaze. It's not like, I'm going to reason my way out. No, you need something to break your gaze. We're talking about resisting fear. No, we're talking about seeing through it. Before you can resist it, you got to know what you're resisting. You got to see the big picture. You got to see something here. It's got to go beyond that. Oh, it's my old fear. It's my old, there's more to it than that. And when you can see both sides of this, yeah, there's a cerebral side to it, but there's a spiritual side to this too. And so as we're looking at this and as we're talking about seeing through fear, we realize that, okay, if I'm dealing with fear, basically I got a gaze that I need breaking. There's a gaze that needs to be broken here. I need power to break a gaze. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Because when there's a gaze, you've got the cerebral and the spiritual working together. That creates a gaze. It could be a good gaze, again, setting your mind on things above. That's a good gaze. When you're spiritually minded, life and peace flows through that gaze. When you're spiritually minded, the power of God, revelation, flows through that gaze. So there's a good gaze. That's why we're told to gaze, to set your mind on things above. Look there. Because there's spiritual forces, powers that are of God, that are good, that will minister to you. But there's a bad gaze. So when we're talking about seeing through fear, you got to realize, hey, there's a gaze going on here. All right? And so I'm going to have to break this gaze that I'm dealing with by the power of God. In the same way that Pippin had to get rescued, praise God, God has weapons of our warfare that can break that gaze and can help us. So first things first, in terms of resisting fear, you got to kind of see, I'm just kind of drawing, laying some groundwork here for where I want to go. You got to kind of see that picture. You got to kind of see that there's more than just my thoughts. There's the mental side, but there's also the spiritual side that works with that. And then not only do I have to be able to see through the fear, in other words, I'm seeing through the thought to the spiritual power behind, but I also have to see the Holy Spirit. You have to see the Holy Spirit in you. This is another reality, because once this reality becomes real, you realize, man, the Holy Spirit just isn't in there for that, just for companionship, but he's in there for a whole lot more. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he was in you is greater than he who was in the world. Little children, you're of God, you belong to him, and you've already defeated and overcome them, the agents of Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who is in the world. Praise God. This is where it's the Father takes pleasure in seeing you free. He takes pleasure in fighting those battles, in rising up. He just needs faith in his word, in his name that unleashes what he said he would do in his word. But there's something we have to see also big picture. In the same way we understand kind of the dilemma of the human condition that we deal with as believers, we also see as part of that big picture is that as that's coming against me, I'm a believer in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And he that is in me is greater than, if you can put a greater than sign. He that is in me, if you're looking at it kind of a paradigm of the enemy, of course, in that gaze thing. He that is in you is greater than any of these spiritual forces that are working through there, all right? Big picture, he's greater. So there's no cerebral pressure on me to have to be tougher. I'm resting in the greater one. He's greater. He's greater. I'm trusting. I'm resting. He's greater. At some point, this truth has to become a spiritual reality. Let's take a look at a few other aspects of this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we're just going to put the Holy Spirit now front and center. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we know that it will never be God over here, right? It'll never be God over here provoking fear. There will never be God over here giving you hypotheticals. What about this? What about that? Did you ever think about that? What if that happened? That's never God over here. He hasn't given you a spirit of bondage. That's what you had before. He hasn't given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but now you've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So we kind of get to get that settled in our heart as we're testing the spirits. If I haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear and I'm testing spirits and it's coming up fear, I know it's not him. He hasn't given me that spirit of bondage again to fear. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There again, you're front and centering the Holy Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice and craving, cringing and fawning fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and disciplined and self-control. What a great spirit. That's what flows through the Holy Spirit. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, power, love, sound mind, cool, you know, life and peace. That's what flows through the yielding of setting our mind on things above. When the cerebral is things above, the power of the Spirit comes through and produces these things. All kind of part of testing the Spirit. But we got to realize, because we're just kind of, I'm setting everything up to resist fear, but before we can do that, we got to lay the groundwork here. We realize that we've got the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and he's greater than he that is in this world. In other words, nothing, no little spooky demonic influences that are trying to paint that dark pictures of influence, they are always less than the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But this is what you got to realize. It's not my intellect that's greater than he that's in the world. It's not my social status that's greater than he that's in the world. There's nothing of me. There's no pressure on Ed House or attribute that I can depend on that's greater than he that's in this world. It's he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. So there's an interesting paradox, if you will. As I'm resisting, I'm not resisting from me. I'm resisting from him. I'm resisting from here. I'm resisting from a place of faith in him. In other words, there's no, it's not a pressure on me, my person. I'm resisting from his resources of strength, from his power. He really is greater than he that's in this world. How much greater? Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the Holy Spirit, the power that works in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So what are we doing? We're just defining the power pretty much right here. All right, I'm resisting because he is in me. I will not fear. You are with me. Now in this new covenant, you are in me. I have weapons in my warfare that are powerful through God. He lives on the inside of me. I'd shared this a couple years ago. Actually, it was 2020. You know, January of 2020, I was kind of getting ready to preach that 2020 message for the year. And I just remember I had kind of these different ideas. You know, 2020, you can do a lot of things with 2020 and vision and all that stuff. But, you know, kind of the games pastors play to try to get an annual message or something like that. But I just remember as I was just kind of thinking about it, just the Spirit of God just arrested me with a dream. And it right away, as far as what that was. And all of a sudden, I was like, in my dream, you know, I was kind of preparing, but I had this dream. And in my dream, I was like in this park on a beautiful sunny day. And it was a beautiful park, lush, green, nice day. And there was like several stations, like about three or maybe four little stations, kind of in a little circuit in this park. And this is kind of an interesting dream because the Lord was teaching me something through it. And I kind of went to this first station in the park, and people were just in fear. They were just beside themselves. What are we going to do about this? And I could feel like people bringing me to that place. What are we going to do about this? And the cool thing about it was, in my dream, I was totally anointed in my dream and believed he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. And it was like, in my dream, I said, and that word just kept coming back, he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. I said, it's going to be okay. God has got this. This is nothing. In Jesus' name, we have got this. It is going to be okay. We're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. This is, you know, it's okay. You know, it's like, now, when you're thinking about that, if you kind of go back to our original picture here, you kind of got the mental reasoning and you kind of got the spiritual power stuff going on. When I was going to that, I don't even remember what it was. In other words, this was not like predicting pandemic stuff or anything like that. It was nothing prophetic or anything like that as far as that I knew or anything like that. It was a general sense. It was a general something that it was just causing everybody, masses to panic. And I just realized I didn't have to be afraid. But in my dream, even though everybody was panicking, I sensed the greater one in me. It was like supernatural. And you know, I've been believing that verse as long as I've been a Christian, but in my dream, it became real to me. Because it is real. Because the word is true. Because the Holy Spirit does live in us. It's true. Do you know what faith is? It's simply choosing to trust. That's all it is. It's a decision to trust. It's not a feeling. It's a decision to trust. In this case, it's a decision to trust that scripture is true. It's a decision to simply trust that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. A decision. And in that dream, in the face of all that, I made that decision. You know, and I know the Lord was showing me, you know, that's not where I was in real life, I'm saying. I'm saying this is the Lord was using this to inspire me to where he wanted to bring me to, okay? Because I did wake up, and it's like, oh, man, it was a dream, you know? But it was like, I want to be that guy, you know? That's kind of what inspiring dreams do. They're for edification. They're to build you up. They're to inspire you for that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's kind of what that dream did for me. And it was interesting because then it was like, okay. It was kind of like I settled them down in the dream. And then they came back to me and said, what about this? And it was like this other thing on the circuit. But it was a whole different thing, right? So in other words, the cerebral argument changed here, right? And the powers and principalities probably changed here too. But no matter how they changed, he that was in me was still greater than he that's in the world. So the argument didn't matter. But I got a revelation of this. And it was like the same answer. It's okay. He's greater. We got this. We can do this. And there was just such a life and peace that came through that revelation that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. What am I doing? Because when you get into the cerebral stuff, it is easy to get argued out of your faith. But when you can see through it and realize he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world, I'm choosing, I'm deciding to trust that he's greater than he that's in this world. That penetrates through those arguments. That brings them into captivity to the obedience of the fact that he's greater than he that's in this world. The greater one on the inside of me. I realize that, man, even though they gave me a new argument, a new thing to worry about, it didn't matter because he that was in me was still greater than he that's in this world. And then I went to the third station. Same thing. It's kind of like the more things change, the more things stay the same. It didn't matter because it doesn't change this equation. In other words, no matter what the devil throws at me, whatever the spiritual forces are behind it, I have the greater one. I have a peace that he's left with me, not as the world gives. The world will give you a peace if you hit their hoops. God has a whole different kind of peace. It's a deep love peace of his heart for you. There's a peace that you can rest in from him. And this is the kind of peace that he gives you that grounds you. This is what, just another aspect of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 John, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. This is very personal. This is a very intimate way to describe the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that up here, I don't know all things, but in here, he knows all things. I have the anointing that abides within. Right? And we still have teachers in the body of Christ and people that instruct. In fact, the way you know things are true is because the anointing within abides. He'll witness that's true. That's true. So ultimately, whether it's a pastor or a teacher or whatever, you're ultimately being trained by the Holy Spirit in you. You know, the pastor can throw some scriptures up here and preach in different things like that. But whether you know it's true, you'll know that by the witness of the Holy Spirit. So he'll give the final green light and say, yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. So he's the ultimate teacher. All right? He's the final thing that comes through, and this is why we need to judge things. We need to judge things and let that anointing within us judge things. I don't care if I'm preaching, teaching, just because I'm your pastor doesn't mean that you believe everything I say. Now, you should believe and trust in a pastor in a general way, but I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. You know, I'm still a human being, and I can make mistakes. I think that's very important to understand, that you have the authority, you have the ability to believe and to listen on the inside, to grow. In other words, faith doesn't have to be imposed on you. I got to believe this because so-and-so believes it and I want them to like me. That's not growing in faith. It's listening to the anointing. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. I believe it because there's a witness of the Holy Spirit that says, that's right. That's good. You always have the right. I want to just say this in context of this. You always have the right. I'm not talking about being critical. All right? I'm not talking about being a critical spirit. But you always have the right to check things out. That was the thing that I appreciated about the Bible school I went to. I went to Rhema. And I remember I'm sitting in Rhema, and Kenneth Hagin is right there, and he's saying, don't you take my word for it. Don't. He said, you check things out. That's what the Bereans did in the book of Acts. He said, they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. And I say the same thing here. Don't just take my word for it. Dig in. Find out from the word of God for yourself. Let that anointing teach you. Grow in your knowledge. I'm here to minister, to feed the flock and do that, but realize there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why is that real? Because you can't just believe it because Pastor Ed believes it. You got to believe it because the Holy Spirit has shown you it's true. And when you believe it because you're believing it from God and you believe it because his word has said it, it's coming. Your belief comes from a different place then. It's like, yes, it is written. It's the word of God. So this talks to a place. I got to know the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. I believe I am where I am today in terms of spiritual growth and things, and I respect and I love the people that God has used in my life, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit that has made these things real in my life, and it's because he has shown me that's where I'm standing. That's why I believe what I believe, because the Holy Spirit has made those things real to me and to my heart. So you have an anointing that abides on the inside of you. He is there. He's teaching you. He's guiding you. So what are we saying? We're just saying, that there comes a point in time when that truth that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world has to go from cool spiritual concept to spiritual reality. It has to become a reality in a place that I can resist from. Once that becomes a reality, I can resist from that place. And let me just gonna say this too. This is not like a class you pass and, oh, the Holy Spirit's real to me now. Glad I got that out of the way. We all know as believers, man, you look back in some things you did for the Lord and go, wow, that's amazing. I'm amazed that I was able to do that, you know? I got to get back to that place, some things like that. You know that as a believer, you can be strong in the Lord, you can be weak in the Lord. You know, you can, you know, we have your ebbs and flows and different things like that. But when you're dealing with stuff like that, one of the things that God is going to do is he's going to draw you back to him, to his fellowship with you, to his relationship with you, to where spiritual things are real. And you begin to realize, Lord, not only am I not alone anymore because you're with me, but you're with me in power. You're not just there to keep me company, but you're there to do business against the forces of darkness. You're greater than he that's in the world. I've been called. I've been called to resist. So again, that's just kind of more groundwork, but ultimately this is where we want to get to, resist by faith. This is where we begin to do something in the face of this cerebral argument and all the forces that are underlying behind it. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, there's a wrestling match, he's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, just because there's a wrestling match going on doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means you're doing something right. It means you're not rolling over. It means you're resisting. It means you're coming against some things, okay? So, and it is kind of comforting to know that the same sufferings that you're experiencing, in other words, the same cerebral argument and the spiritual forces behind it, this isn't like a unique setup to me. It's just the same stuff. Same old, common to man. So what I'm battling here, it hurts, it's personal, it's me, but at the same point, I'm not dealing with something that's unique. It's the same fight. This is just my chance to resist this roar. And that's a lot of times what you see, that he comes about as a roaring lion. That roar hits your mental realm, but there's that spiritual force behind that roar. And what are we called to do? We're called to resist steadfast in the faith. And this is where we see the example, the perfect example of Jesus. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All right? Here's a case where the tempter comes to Jesus, and we know he went through those series of temptations. And what did he do? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Sometimes you're going to resist from here with that word of God. It is written. In other words, you're invoking authority is basically what you're doing. I'm not resisting from Ed House. When I'm resisting by it is written, I'm resisting from a different place. I'm resisting from the authority of Scripture. I'm saying stop in the name of the law, you would say here, like when you're doing that. Well, stop in the name of the Word of God, or stop in the name of Jesus Christ. There's authority that we've been given to be able to resist. And this is where we're doing it by faith. I got to see what I'm resisting in the first place. I see that I'm resisting thoughts, I'm resisting spiritual forces behind it. And what I'm doing, instead of trying to win a battle for thought against thought, this is where I'm resisting that spiritual force behind the thought. This is where, when I'm saying, in Jesus' name, your power is broken, I'm looking even past those thoughts, I'm seeing to that spiritual, the spiritual puppeteer that's doing this. I'm taking authority over the spiritual side of it. Now, when we're getting into the spiritual side of it, I know there's a lot here and there's a lot of things people can do and flow in, and I'm not here to get all in the deep side of that stuff and whatnot, but I will just say this. When you're feeling oppressed by the enemy, in other words, I don't have to know everything about the spiritual side before I can resist it. I can, by faith, just say, no, that's fear. That's hatred. That's bitterness. There's a spirit. And you know what? The spirit, it's like a buffeting. It's a repeated. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. That power is broken, and I resist you. And this is where, again, I'm resisting by faith. I'm resisting him steadfast in the faith. I'm taking authority in Jesus' name. It is written. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I resist you in Jesus' name. It is written, the wrath of man shall not work the righteous purpose of God. I take authority over that anger, that spirit of anger. In Jesus' name, that's not God. No. And what am I doing? I'm doing this by faith. I'm doing this by faith. I'm not doing it. This is not a cerebral exercise. This is a spiritual activity where you are resisting in the name of Jesus. You resist by his name. You resist by his word. Paul talking to Timothy, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You're resisting from that place in the spirit. Again, first things, we want to realize the Holy Spirit lives in us. When we're in that place, we're spirit conscious. From that place, we begin to realize, I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Those two don't mix. I resist you in Jesus' name. Your power is broken. There's a faith that goes along with it. Now, when I'm taking that faith in Jesus' name, of course, there's a follow-through to that too. I'm setting my mind on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You realize in the soulish realm, you know, you can draw that demonic stuff. I've shared this story before too, where I was kind of walking along, and all of a sudden I see some roadkill. And I go, that's gross. It's so full of flies, I didn't even want to look at it. So I just kind of stepped around it, you know, because you have these flies on this dead thing. And the Lord, you know, told me that big revelation when I stepped past it. He said, Ed, if you get the roadkill out of your mind, you won't have to swat so many flies. All right? So when you're taking authority over the devil and you're taking authority over the flies, the spiritual side of it, if I'm going to go back and set my mind on a bunch of dead thoughts, I'm going to draw flies, I'm going to have the gaze, and I'm going to have the same thing over and over again. All right? So it's not just like a one and done. This is the way my pastor described it to us one time when he was dealing with the spirit of fear. Now for him, he was afraid that his wife was going to die. He was afraid she was going to get brutally murdered. The reason was they lived in Haiti as missionaries. And they would go back, there's revolutions going on there, and they'd go back to the house, and all of a sudden they'd see a house where family got murdered. They were on the wrong side of the political aisle. And you see stuff like that, and it can affect you. And so he just all of a sudden began to have imaginations that, oh my goodness, I can see Dana. I can just see something bad's going to happen to her. And shortly after that, the Lord called them back to Minnesota. He had a ministry and a position there. And he was so glad to finally get out of Haiti so he didn't have to worry about his wife being killed anymore by these crazy revolutionists. And all of a sudden, they're back in Minnesota where it's nice and safe. And all of a sudden, he's imagining car wrecks. You can imagine her getting into a car accident. You know, a spirit of fear can't be left geographically. A spirit of fear will just adapt itself to wherever you go. All right? That's the spiritual side of stuff. It'll just throw up a different argument up there to make it real. All right? That's what you got to do with the spiritual side of it. And so he was just at work one day, kind of thinking of these things about his wife. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just spoke to him and spoke through his heart. He said, you know, Pastor Paul's a really kind of quiet, subdued guy. And he just said, Paul? He goes, yeah. He said, that fear about Dana? He goes, yeah. He said, it's not from me. That's all he said. It's not from me. You know when you get a revelation that it's not from God? No, you can have a preaching, that's not God. But I'm talking about you got a revelation. That's not God. You lose your sense of obligation to manage and have to deal with it because the Spirit of God says, that's not me. That's not me. And he said, right there, he said, I just said, spirit of fear, you spirit of fear, I break your power in Jesus' name. Your power. He didn't yell. He didn't scream. He just declared it. He saw something. That's not my God. There is no responsible thinking going on here. It's just, I'm getting played. I'm not going to get played anymore. Take authority over that in Jesus' name. And this is what he said. This is the thing that he said to me that I just so remembered. He said, when that happened, something broke. It's like I'd been in this dark tunnel for all this time. And he said, when that thing broke, I could see light. I could see light. He said, but after I said that then, the Spirit of God was drawing me to walk toward that light, that scripture. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love. It's like, I am going to hold on to that truth. That's not from me. That's not from me. It's a word from God. He'll give you a word, and what do you do with it? He got that word, and he began to walk toward that word. It's not from me. And it began, but he said, here's the thing. When you're walking toward that light, there's peripheral stuff in that dark tunnel that wants to go, what about this? And remember that happened? Oh, yeah, and you're back in the tunnel again. He said, but this is what I did. I just began walking, and you could hear the call. This is the mental side of it right now, right? You're breaking the spiritual force behind that thing, but there's still, the enemy's going to still try to get you back through suggestions and whatnot, but you're holding on to that word. So as you're experiencing deliverance, yes, there is a spiritual side that you're doing on purpose, but there's also a soulish side where you're setting your mind on things above and saying, yes, that God, I hear your voice. That's not God, not God. No, I'm walking toward that word you gave me. I'm walking toward your word that's clearly stated. You know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You haven't given me a spirit of fear. I'm not. I refuse to fear. He said, he began to do that. And he said, over a period of time, just several days, he just began to meditate and hold on to that word. He said, that light was getting brighter and brighter and brighter as you're walking toward it. Because really what you're doing is you're gazing into the word. So in other words, you're not only breaking your gaze off that, but now you are gazing into the word of God. You're gazing into that promise of God. And it's doing something in your soul. It's beginning to clean up things in your soul. And he said, I began to walk. It's like I walked out of that tunnel. And he said, here's the funny thing, but when I walked out of it, he said, I can't even believe that thing had me. How in the world? You can just see through it. You know? So as you're walking through this stuff, as you're experiencing and resisting fear, there's going to be some levels. You're going to take your place from the greater one that's in you. But then there's also going to be a follow-through that you do as you begin to hold on to that word. That's why you even see that dynamic in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, let your requests be made known unto God, you know, with thanksgiving. The peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind. But then think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and virtuous, praiseworthy. What is he doing? He's keeping you focused on the Spirit, keeping you focused on that side. So as we're talking about resisting fear, there's going to be seeing through the fear. You're going to kind of see the setup. You got to realize that when you're here, there are spiritual forces behind you, and you might think you're outthinking it, but it's just playing you. And you realize at some point, I don't want to get played by this fear anymore. I'm done. I want to do something. Well, first things first, you got to realize you can't do anything about it yourself. You need the power of God. You need his grace. I'm not greater than he that's in this world, but he that's in me is greater than he that's in this world. So I'm resting in him. I'm in Christ. You know, that's where I am. I'm in Christ. But you take me, what did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you never see yourself apart from him. Apart from him, you can't. But in him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you to resist. So you see that dynamic. And then you're going to resist by faith. You know, when you're here and you've got all that stuff going on, it can work you up emotionally. But that's why it's good to get at a refresher of the Holy Spirit. Get stirred up. What Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. Have some time. Get into some places of worship. Turn the channel from this and set your mind on things above. Just begin to get spiritually focused. Sense the power and the presence of God. And then from that place, begin to resist and take authority over those things that have been trying to play you. And realize that once you do, it will break something in the spirit realm. You're going to see something, and then you walk toward that light. You walk toward that thing that you see as you're renewing your mind, as you're walking out that tunnel. Praise God for that full, free healing and deliverance. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus that we're not alone, that you're with us. You're with us no matter where we go, high or low, that we've got a companionship of your precious Holy Spirit. But we also know that you're in us. You're in us to stand with us. And to stand against the things of this world. You're in us, Lord, to cause us to overcome, Lord, by the power that's on the inside of us, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, my trust is in you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you live in me. You are greater than any fear coming against my mind. My trust is in you. My strength is in you. And this morning, I'm looking at things
things that have played me. And I'm seeing them now in proper perspective. You are big. They are small. You are greater. I'm resting in you, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority by the word of God that declares, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. That means, spirit of fear, he is greater than you. I break your power off my mind. That narrative is not from God. It is broken in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for light. I'm going to walk toward that light and see the Holy Spirit all the way through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. I know that means a lot of different things for all of us. But you know, we all have the same weapons of our warfare. It's all common to man. And you have everything you need that pertains to life and godliness through the amazing promises that we have in him. And these are one of the great promises that we have, the ability to overcome through his precious Holy Spirit. Praise God.